The only purpose I can think of to the Netflix series Adolescence is to convey the idea that if you are a normal, white, English boy, then you are rubbish. You are no good. You are violent. You are stupid. You are incompetent. You are weak. You are a bully. You are unnecessary. You are ghastly. And that which rescues white women is not you. No, 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 no. It's black and South Asian men. They are what white women need. If indeed they need anything. Because they are strong and independent and intelligent and of high status. That is the message of this I almost said documentary. Sir Keir Starmer called it a documentary. It's not a bloody documentary. It's a drama. It's a drama which is to some extent based in reality, but to a great extent is not. And what I want to look at today in detail is the precise purpose of Adolescence. And I will show that purpose is what I have called woke eugenics. It is part of a broader selection event. But before I do that, could you do me a favour? Could you please, please, please subscribe? Could you subscribe on YouTube and hit the bell and leave a like and leave a comment for the algorithm and all that? And could you possibly subscribe on my Substack? That's jollyheretic.com. Where I put all the most based content I can't put on YouTube, where I put in-person interviews, where I put my vlog, where I put my Dutton's Digest weekly roundup, all kinds of stuff. And where if you like what I do, you can support me for the cost of just a pint of English beer a month. Now back to the video. So, this is my book, which I published about a year ago now, called Woke Eugenics. The essential argument is that what we used to do was, well, let's compare... This series, Adolescence, to an English public school from the old days. What was the point of an English public school? It put you on an adaptive roadmap of life where it trained you to be an obedient member of the empire and it prepared you for the harshness of life. And it basically militarized you. It was like Sparta. It prepared you for the harshness of life. And it taught you to be a man. It puts you on an adaptive roadmap of life. In so much as it was extremely harsh, it also would have broken a minority of people who would have been perhaps so traumatised by the experience that they would have ended up not passing on their genes and not contributing much to society. And there's a degree to which, from an evolutionary perspective, that is a good thing because those people are maladaptive. And those people are removed from the gene pool. What we have now is a society that pushes people along a maladaptive roadmap of life. It does not tell them that it is good to be a man, that it is good to be a traditional man, because benevolent sexists get women, by the way, that it is good to be manly, that it is good to fight for your group, that it is good to engage in self-sacrifice, that it is good to compete, all of these adaptive things. It tells you the opposite. It pushes you on a maladaptive roadmap of life where it tells you it is bad to be a man. It is bad to be white. It is bad to be English. You should feel utterly ashamed. It is bad to be human. You indeed should not pass on your genes. You should help to reduce the population of evil humans in favour of animals. It is a climate strike, all this kind of stuff. It is placing you on a maladaptive roadmap of life. It is not preparing you for life in terms of things like being able to overcome bullying, being able to cope with losing at school sport, being able to cope with even not being invited to another child's birthday party. Things which prepare you for unpleasant things that will happen as an adult. That's what's meant to happen at school. Those things are all ironed out and removed in favour of a female-dominated society where everything is about telling you that nothing bad can happen, protecting you from any kind of harm, any kind of physical or psychological harm. So there's no way of getting used to bad things happening, basically spoiling you. And there's a degree to which this, of course, turns children into narcissists and into neurotics that can't cope with adult life and need trigger warnings and don't know how to order from menus without getting stressed and all this kind of thing. So it's placing you on a maladaptive roadmap of life in every conceivable way, both by telling you that it's no good being human and no good being white and no good being a boy or whatever, but also by protecting you from the ability to cope with harm and to cope with bad things happening to you. So it's the worst of both worlds, and it's the public school system turned on its head. Now, this film, or this series rather, this four-part series, Adolescence, as far as I'm concerned, it epitomises that. It places you as a boy, particularly a white normal boy, on a maladaptive roadmap of life, tells you you're no good, tells you you're useless, tells you you're a waste of time. And there are two responses to that. One is to accept it and thus be demoralised and destroyed and feel awful and be removed from the gene pool. And the other is to fight against it. Who's going to fight against it? It's going to be those who are genetically resistant at this very plastic age to this kind of demoralising nonsense. That's who it's going to be. And it's going to be those who are genetically, probably for highly genetic reasons, strongly rebellious. That's who it's going to be. Those people are going to rebel against this appalling, basically, form of child abuse that is the series Adolescence. So it's like woke eugenics. Woke eugenics sucks into its death cult everybody except the genetically highly conservative and the genetically highly religious. They are resistant to it, and as we know from the data, they are the ones that pass on their genes among the more intelligent. And as with this film, those that will not be brainwashed by it will probably be those that are genetically resistant to this nonsense. So it's a selection event to help to create a healthier, because health correlates with conservatism and religiosity, a healthier people once again. That's the only understanding of it I can sort of try and see as to what the point of it is. Now, if we look at how adolescence tries to destroy the morale of white boys, every single bad character in it, every bad person, is a normal white male. And every good person is something other than that. So it's about a boy called Jamie Miller, who is 13 years old. He gets bullied about being an incel, which is insane, because what the hell are you going to be at the age of 13 other than incel anyway, by this girl who is mixed race, by the way. She's good. She's the one that gets murdered. She's mixed race. And then he goes and finds her and stalks her, and he takes a knife and he kills her. So let us look at the bad characters in this. It's basically almost every white character. So Jamie is bad. His dad, okay, he's portrayed in a reasonably sympathetic way, and he gets very upset and whatever, and he seems to be a good father, but it's made clear that he has a terrible temper, and once he smashed up the shed in the garden because his temper was so bad. Also, he's quite a weak man. We see him break down and things like this. So he's both psychologically weak, and he has a terrible temper, and he smashes up the shed. We then see that we meet the lawyer, the duty solicitor at the police station. He is a bit bumbling and a bit disorganised, and frankly a weak lawyer. And at the exact point where he should intervene and say, "Mr. Miller, no," he says, "It's time to take a break now." And he allows himself to be overruled by his client, with the result that there's the great reveal, and Jamie is confronted with what he's done with video evidence and things like that. So, no, a good lawyer would have made sure that was stopped. So this is basically a weak and incompetent man. The deputy head of the school is white, and he's shown being concerned about the reputation of the school and superficial things like that. There is an incident in which a black boy, and he's the black saviour, by the way, that tells his dad, who's a police officer, about the whole incel thing, is being bullied. Of course, it's this way round, being bullied by a white kid. And the teacher, rather than really give him a bollocking for doing that, just says, always pack it in. He is, of course, white. We pass a classroom in which a teacher is shouting at his pupils, i.e. being not a particularly good teacher. He is, of course, white. The friend of... It's turning into a Hamza Yusuf speech, this. The friend of Jamie, who lends him his knife through which the killing happens, is, of course, white. Every bad character in the father is in a hardware store, a DIY store, and he gets taken aside by someone that tells him he's sympathetic about what his son did. And this person is white. So essentially every person who is portrayed as morally bad or morally questionable in this series is a white male. The only exceptions, the only good white males, are the person who is the appropriate adult that is in the police van with Jamie and the black police detective when he is arrested. So he's white. But he's a midget. And the desk officer, the duty sergeant at the police officer at the police station that helps go through the arrest, he's white, but he's got a big long ginger beard. He's a hippie or a druid or something insane and left wing like that. So the only white people that are morally good are abnormal, white men rather, that are morally good, are abnormal white people. A midget and a druid. So the message is pretty clear. Oh, by the way, as well, there are various school bullies that say nasty things and things like that. They are, of course, white boys. So white males are bad unless they are weirdo left-wing hippie freaks or midgets. That is the message of adolescence. As for the good people in the series, they are all non-white. So the main character really is the detective inspector, whatever he is. He is, of course, black. Then there's his son. He is, of course, black. There's various women in it, such as the mother of Jamie, who comes across, there's no problems with her behaviour, or his sister. The headmistress of the school, she's kind of weak and doesn't have much authority and whatever, but at least she's kind, unlike the male deputy headmaster. And the person that when there's the struggle session where Jamie is sat down with a psychologist, a female young psychologist, and he becomes aggressive and also feeble with her, then the person that comes in to rescue the situation is an African, not just a black, but an African, a person who is foreign. And this goes on and on and on throughout it. And the message is absolutely, there's a female white police officer who's kind of the deputy to the black investigating officer. And on it goes. All of the normal white people, white males in this film are bad. Bad people. And that is the message that is conveyed. The possible morally ambiguous one is that, and it's interesting that they allow this to happen, is a black girl in it who is the best friend of the girl who has been murdered. And she is African black, and she is extremely aggressive, and she punches this boy who turns out to be the person that gave the knife to Jamie in the face and all this sort of thing. But then, and it's interesting that they allow that stereotype to be portrayed. But then, of course, we're shown that we have to be sympathetic for her because she's from an abusive background and her mother's horrible to her and things like that. So kind of it's as though her behaviour is therefore justified. So that's how it works. And by the way, even though you would think she would be suspended from school for that kind of behaviour, she's not. And we see her later in the film and she's in the series and she's allowed to still be at school. You would think she would be suspended from school. She'd have been suspended from my school if she'd hit someone. But there you go. So that's the situation. All white, normal white males are bad, and everybody else. Even the, by the way, they portray two teachers in a positive light in the film. Two classroom teachers. These are both male, but of course, one of them is half caste, and one of them is Asian. So one of them is a bit sort of bumbling and silly, but ultimately kind, and is late for class. And the other one is there and is in charge. So it's unrelenting. The bad people are always white males, without any exception. Even the people that then go and bully the Jamie's family and write not and scrawl nonce on the father's plumbing van are, of course, white males. Everybody that is bad is a white male, and everybody that is a normal white male, and everybody that is good is something other than a white male. That's it. Now, there's been a lot in the media about how they've engaged in race swapping. And they have engaged in race swapping in so much as they're trying to do two things. They want to condemn inceldom. They find inceldom, this idea according to the data, it is disproportionately white males rather than non-white males who are part of this incel Andrew Tate subculture. Which, so there's a bit in the film where the father, we don't know what's going on with the black detective. Is he a single dad or something? We're not sure. But his son, who is very sensitive and again very swapping, who is the sensitive, intelligent, thoughtful type, who gets bullied by these horrible, thoughtless, thuggish white boys, tells him about incel culture and things like this, and about how this is somehow germane to the murder.
Redpool's like, I see the truth. It's a call to action by the Manosphere.
Manosphere?
Which is where the 100 comes in, the 80 to 20 rule.
Adam, listen, my brain can't take all this. I don't know what you're talking about, just break it down.
80% of women are attracted to 20% of men. Woman, you must trick them because you'll never get them in a normal way. 80% of women are cut off or she's saying he's an incel, Dad.
He's 13. How can you be involuntary celibate at 13?
I know.
Who isn't that, celibate at 13, huh?
She's saying you're Obi. That's what they say, you're an incel. You're going to be, a virgin forever, basically. And all those people have fired, which means that they're agreeing with her.
Not going into much detail. And later, there's the female detective sergeant or whatever she is has heard of this, and she talks about Andrew Tate shite.
It's the involuntary celibate stuff. It's the Andrew Tate shite.
Hmm.
Oh, fucking hell. I've heard the boys talking about him.
And this turns out to be the motive somehow for the killing. Now, it is noteworthy that is mainly a white thing. That is mainly a white thing. So if they wanted to, they could have done a film about that and its effects. But no, they felt that wouldn't be powerful enough. They wanted to connect that to knife crime. And knife crime is, of course, mainly a black thing. And there was this case, which the film was kind of inspired by, of a black boy who was scorned, rejected by this girl, and so he stabbed to death by another black girl. So they bring together the incel thing, which they want to condemn, with knife crime, which is mainly a black problem in the UK, I'm afraid, and a black on black problem, which they also want to condemn, and so you have this quite unrealistic bludgeon of trying to say to white people, well, look, isn't it dreadful? Isn't it frightening? You've got this incel subculture and then you've got this knife crime and trying to marry them together. But it's just not true. It's race swapping. And indeed, you could argue that the entirety of adolescence is race swapping in so much as that there's data on behaviour patterns in school and all this sort of thing. And the whole thing and behaviour patterns at other levels. And the whole thing is race swapped because the point is to demoralise white normal white boys. Because if you demoralise normal white boys, you create, as I see it, a kind of a selection event where only the toughest white boys, only the healthiest white boys, only the most mentally stable and conservative white boys get through the selection event. And the rest are removed. So that's what you have to do. That's showing you, as I see it, it's kind of evolutionary unconscious purpose. And if you're going to say, oh God, he's going on about evolution all the time, everything's reducible to evolution. Yes, it is. That's a fundamental from Darwin. Everything is reducible to evolution. Everything is reducible to science. Everything. And if you say that's reductionist, yes, it is. And rightly so. If you say that's simplistic, I say you're being complicatistic. Things are simple. That's one thing you learn as you look into the science in more detail, I'm afraid. Things are ultimately explicable, and it's these pretentious people that make out that, oh God, it's so complicated. No, there isn't. No, there are methods of analysis where you can reduce down to the simplest explanation, and that's what I'm trying to do here. So that's that. Let me move on then from the race swapping, which of course is annoying everybody because it's so obvious what's going on, to a very interesting bit of it, which is the struggle session. So they, in order to try to get Jamie to confess, because he won't confess to what he's done, even though there's abundant evidence of what he's done, they bring in a female psychologist, the typical head girl type. Yeah, the typical person who has high intelligence and is highly socially conformist and who works very hard and very intelligently towards socially conformist ends, that imbibes the dominant set of doctrines and competitively signals with them. That kind of person, the head girl. Exactly the kind of person that's going to be going on Black Lives Matter marches, but perhaps not mentally unstable enough to lead them. That kind of person, the social conformist, highly intelligent person, the head girl. And she's become a psychologist. This is realistic because a lot of women, a lot of psychologists of this kind are women. And you have this fascinating struggle session between the boy and him and her, this girl, this woman, and with her asking all kinds of impertinent questions about this, that and the other. And ultimately, he bonds with her because this is, he's sharing information with her. So, of course, he's going to bond with her. He maybe fancies her a little bit. And in the end, he wants her to like him. And he's concerned at the end, and he breaks down and says, don't you like me? Do you like me at all? So he displays total weakness. She basically destroys him in this struggle session. And he gets slightly violent with her and aggressive. And so who comes in and rescues her? It's, of course, the African man who's the security guard standing outside. So what message is this sending to young white boys? It's that the people that get into positions of authority are white women. White women get into positions of authority over you. You're like him.
Are you ready for the future of the West?